I offer my very sincerest gratitude to all of you for so kindly coming to be with us this evening to celebrate the appearance of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Recently, I was in Calcutta and found a great treasure. There is a library of over 3,000 very rare, precious manuscripts, many of them originals by our acharyas, that was just given to the Bhaktivedanta Research Center. One very dear friend and exalted Vaishnav, Srila Bodayan Maharaj, who is the successor of Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, in a very magnanimous gesture, he had what devotees tried to get for years and years and couldn't was given to him. And then he gave it to our devotees. So I was looking through some of the manuscripts. There was notebooks by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, diaries by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that have never been published, that hardly anyone has ever seen. There was also some original notebooks by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur in his own personal handwriting. I was looking through one in particular. Babies should be brought to the room where the mothers have a closed circuit TV, please. I was looking through one of Bhaktivinod Thakur's personal notebooks, and I saw page after page of songs and prayers, which were the original compositions of Thakur Bhaktivinod. Gaurarti, which we sing every evening. Radha Krishna Arti. And you know it's the originals because sometimes he'd have verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, then he'd have a line going to the top of the page or the bottom and insert a verse. And one of the songs that I was so blessed to see the original composition of, I'd like to sing for you this evening. Singing in front of my dear brother, godbrother, Vyaski Prabhu. It's like a little baby child crying in front of a eloquent poet. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan.
Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan.
Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Sradavan jan he, Sradavan jan he. Sradavan jan he, Sradavan jan he. Prabhu agyai bhai mage e biksha. Prabhu agyai bhai mage e biksha. Bolo Krishna bajo Krishna koro Krishna siksha. Bolo Krishna bajo Krishna koro Krishna siksha. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Pati ache nam hata jivera karan. Pati ache nam hata jivera karan. Aparada sunya ho ye loho Krishna nam. Aparada sunya ho ye loho Krishna nam. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dana pran. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dana pran. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Krishna samsara koro chadi anacha. Krishna samsara koro chadi anacha. Krishna Nadiya Kodrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadiya Kodrume Nityananda Mahajan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Krishna ra samsara koro chadi anicha. Jive doya Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Jive doya Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Bolo Krishna bajo Krishna koro Krishna siksha. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dana pran. Jive doya Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Hati ache nam hata jivera karan. Aparada sunya ho ye go ye ho Krishna nam. Aparada sunya ho ye loho Krishna na. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dhana pran. Krishna mata Krishna pita Krishna dana pran. Jive doya Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Krishna doya Krishna nam Jive doya Krishna nam sarva dharma sa. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan.
In the land of Nadiya, on the island of Godrum, the magnanimous Lord Nityananda has opened up the marketplace of the holy name. meant for the deliverance of all fallen souls. O people of faith, O people of faith, by the order of Lord Gauranga, O brothers, I beg this one request. Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. And Krishna is the treasure of your life. Giving up all improper behavior, carry on with your worldly duties only in relation to Krishna. The showing of compassion to all fallen souls by loudly chanting the holy name of Krishna is the essence of all forms of religion. Thank you for tolerating my broken words, Vyaski Prabhu. You are too humble. Thank you. When I was holding this original composition of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, just an old notebook, so old that the paper was filled with tiny little holes. Each page had hundreds and hundreds of tiny holes from either ants or worms eating it away. Almost 100 years old. Seeing Bhaktivinoda's writing with little cross outs. And he would write on the lines, and then he would think of something and put a line and put it up vertically in the margin. It was just touching. I felt so immensely purified. But of course, the sound vibration of these prayers and these songs are immortal. In the song we have sung today, he is expressing his deep gratitude and appreciation for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Today, being Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, we'd like to speak something in the spirit of the song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Purajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Shuto Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nithai. In this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya. And Sri Balaram appears as Lord Nityananda Prabhu.
Parama Karuna Pahundu Ichan Nithai Gaura Chandra.
These two brothers are supremely merciful, unlimitedly kind, because they are giving freely to everyone and anyone without discrimination the most intimate revelations of love of God, the very perfection and essence of every spiritual path. And they are doing it in such an accessible and simple way. All that is required is our faith, our willingness to live a life of servitude with humility
and in that spirit to chant the holy names. Today in mourning, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj presented a brilliant, dramatic class on Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's intimate, loving relationship, of how Lord Nityananda would disobey Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya would chastise and criticize Lord Nityananda, all in the feeling of ecstatic love. Because spiritual love is the whole perfection of the love of the soul. And the various emotions that we experience in love in this world, which are filtered through the ego and the mind contaminated by arrogance and anger and greed and lust and illusion. But these same emotions, in their absolute perfections, exist between the Lord and His devotees. Or anger and chastisement is something very beautiful. Raghunath Das Goswami writes that he's quoting Krishna, that more than hearing the praises of the priests and the pundits who are perfectly chanting scriptural prayers and glorification of the Lord, Krishna says, I feel more satisfaction being chastised by the elderly gopis of Vrindavan, and even more satisfaction by the young gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna explains how, you know, he, in his different avatars, he killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the most powerful demons in all of creation's history, who were creating such disturbance. And the Lord, he did away with Agasura and Putana and Vatsasura and Kamsa. But he finds millions of times more happiness being defeated in wrestling by little cowherd boys. This is the nature of the intimacy of spiritual love. You see, because these types of relationships in this world cause pain, they cause pain because love is so easily betrayed in this world, and that hurts our hearts so much. Or if it's not exactly suddenly betrayed, it just kind of wears off. The thrill is gone, and it's just like, what are we doing with each other? We get tired of it, look for something new. Or even if it lasts pretty well, inevitably somebody's going to die. So let's not worry about this love stuff, because it's just too painful. Let's just try to find peace and extinguish all desires. But we find beyond that realization is perfect spiritual love, where there is unlimited variegatedness. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they appeared within this world to give that, the highest revelations of love in the spiritual world, through the chanting of God's names. Now Lord Chaitanya, we read, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna in one form. Krishna takes on the emotions and the complexion of Sri Radha, the feminine aspect of the Absolute Truth. And in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, we find sometimes he assumes directly the role of Krishna. When he sits on the throne in the house of Srivas and he accepts worship of his devotees, or sometimes he actually manifests his form of Krishna to intimate associates. At other times, he was immersed in the feelings of Srimati Radharani, tasting the sweetness of the ecstasy of her love for Krishna. But something else, please hear carefully. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of Sri Radha, not only did he taste the highest pleasure of her love, something that he could not even fathom without taking this form, but as Srimati Radharani, the loving mother of all living beings, he was expressing her compassion to all living beings. Sri Radha's all-forgiving motherly love for the fallen souls who had forsaken her, betrayed her since time immemorial. But as the Supreme Mother, she may not be pleased with us, but whoever we are, whatever we've done, her love always remains the same. It's infinite. It's inexhaustible. It's unlimited. And seeing the conditioned souls in this world bereft of their natural spiritual happiness broke her heart. This breaking of heart is not like the breaking of hearts in this world. Breaking hearts in this world is frustration due to something that we may not be able to control, but it's just happened to us due to attachment. But her broken heart is an expression of her love, for her desire for every living being to be happy. Sri Radha wants to see every living being again with Krishna. And this was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. And he expressed his mood of Radharani's compassionate side most openly to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu appeared on this day, 13th day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh, in Eka Chakra. There was a massive drought in the whole area. But as soon as Nitai came out from the womb of Padmavati as the son of Hadai Pandit, there was beautiful rains. And instantly crops and flowers and fruits and grains started growing abundantly. And he was so beautiful and so kind. Nobody knew who he was, that he was Balaram himself. He was God. But he hid his opulences just so that he could enjoy and be enjoyed intimately by his devotees. When he would sit on somebody's lap, he had a beautiful golden complexion, and his limbs were so soft. He is described like a little puppet made out of butter. And even if somebody had the most difficult problems in life, tremendous frustration, anxiety, disappointment, bewilderment, they knew if they just took Nitai on their lap and just looked at his beautiful lotus-like eyes and saw his beaming smile, whatever worries, frustrations, anxieties disappeared forever. They could never come back. What did that mean? It didn't mean the problems weren't there. You see, people who approach religion or spirituality or God with a material mind were praying, let the problems go away so I could be happy. But however much problems go away, they come back. Either in this form or another form. But Nityananda's little smile, he's only about this big. But those little lips of his baby form had such power. It mitigated all problems forever. How? Because you experienced such love, feeling his love, that all the problems in the world were insignificant. That is the transcendental state. Krishna tells in Gita, dukalayam ashashvatam, in this material world, birth, old age, disease, and death are the nature. How could we really find deep happiness where there's birth, old age, disease, and death? The real happiness is to go beyond it, to go deeper, to realize param drisvanivartate, that higher taste of experiencing Krishna's love. And once we experience Krishna's love, our love naturally manifests. It's reciprocal. So this was little Nitai in Eka Chakra. He would just smile and everybody would be liberated forever. And when he got a little older, where he started running around with friends, day and night he would just play games. But all his games were dramas enacting Krishna's pastimes. And Nityananda Prabhu, very small children, three, four years old he would do this, 5 years old, 6 years. He would do this his whole childhood, all day, sometimes. And all the friends would go and Nityananda Prabhu would be the producer and the director. And sometimes he was the main actor and he would put all his friends in perfect little costumes. Someone would play Kaliya and he would play Krishna, and then he would Kamsa, and do Ram's Leela, Krishna's Leela, and Dattatreya's Leela, Varaha's Leela, Narsingha's Leela. And it was so perfect. And usually, because he would be with his friends all day, they would play, parents would get angry. But they, because all the children were with Nityananda, they were completely happy. At one time, they asked little Nitai, how do you know all the lines of the scriptures so perfectly in all these dramatic little performances you do? And he spoke the truth, but nobody could understand. He smiled and said, these are my pastimes. So can you imagine how thoroughly attached they became to him? But then when he was 12 years old, a sannyasi came to the house of Hadai Pandit and spoke the whole night about Krishna. And then the next morning, Hadai Pandit said, I am your servant. Ask anything with me of me and I will give you. Of course, he was a Brahmin. He didn't have much. The sannyasi said, please give me your son, Nityananda, because I'm on a pilgrimage and I require a nice assistant. Now, in those days, when you give a 12-year-old boy to a sannyasi, you probably will never, ever, ever see him again. There was no emails or anything to keep contact with each other. He was traveling all over the... He was going to be traveling to the peaks of the Himalayas and to the shores of South India, everywhere. Although it was the most painful thing, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, they understood, they gave their word. And they must fulfill it. And little Nitai, he just blissfully left home. But then when he left, the parents realized what they had just done. They just gave away their son. They gave away their life, their soul, their everything, the only thing they lived for. And when the news spread to Ekachakra, everyone in the village felt the same way. People were running in all directions looking for the Swami. And they all had the same determination. When we find him, we'll give him our sons. But let us have Nityananda back. Because everyone loved Nityananda more than they loved their own lives, their own family, their own everything. But he was gone. Hadai Pandit could not eat, he could not sleep for weeks and weeks. The only thing that kept him alive was remembrance of Nityananda. And ultimately, some months later, chanting the name Nitai Chand, he passed from the world. And Padmavati also. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu traveled for about 20 years, going to holy places. But he never told anyone about Krishna. Because he came to be the instrument of Lord Chaitanya's compassion. And then when he heard news, he would go to holy places, including Vrindavan. He was there. And he would ask people, where is Krishna? I don't see Krishna. And they said, oh, Krishna, he's in a beautiful golden form now, living in Nadia. If you want to find him, you have to go there. So when Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met at the house of Sri Nandan Acharya. And from that time, the two brothers were together. The next day, Lord Chaitanya brought Lord Nityananda to meet Sachi Devi. And for those of you who know the story, Sachi Devi's eldest son, Vishwaroop, left home and took sannyas when he was a young man also. And she never saw him again. But Vishwaroop was an expansion of Nityananda. They were identically the same person in two different forms. So when Sachi Devi first saw Nityananda Prabhu, the same exact ecstatic love of her heart for her eldest son, Vishwaroop, and even more, awakened in her heart. And she embraced Nityananda. You are my son. You are my son. You are my very son. And Nitai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were most intimate brothers, enjoying beautiful kirtans together. And we read in this song by Thakur Bhaktivinod how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his spirit of Srimati Radharani's motherly love for every living being, would reveal his mind to Nityananda Prabhu. Because they were one and the same person, Nitai Gaurachandra, in two forms, but Nityananda Prabhu was always in the mood of the servant. Nityananda Prabhu knew Lord Chaitanya's heart so perfectly. And there are so many occasions where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Devamrita Maharaj was saying to this morning, wanted to teach lessons to the world. But Nityananda Prabhu knew his heart, he knew his intentions so perfectly. Therefore, the Lord revealed his heart so intimately to Nitai. In the mood of Sri Radha, Lord Chaitanya would weep. He would cry to see people committing sinful activities, binding themselves with karma in which they would have to suffer so bad. And even pious people, who would be generally become very, very proud of their piety and never humble themselves sincerely with devotion to God. Literally, this broke the heart of Lord Chaitanya. And one day he approached Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu with astonishing request, not a request, an order. Something no one has ever done. He said, I want you to go to every house, door to door, to every marketplace, shop to shop, on the street, person to person, and give this message. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's your real wealth. Krishna's your very life and soul. Chant Krishna's names. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. And if you do so, you will be my very life and soul. Lord Chaitanya was so kind. When he personally asked people to do this, if anyone, whoever they were, whatever they did in the past, if they would just take Krishna's name sincerely, Lord Chaitanya would personally put a garland on their necks. He would embrace them with tears in his eyes. He would express his debt to them. And what did they do? They just accepted his love. He would tell these people, "You are my life and soul," for accepting my love. But there were people who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not approached. He wanted Nityananda Prabhu and Thakur Haridas to reach everyone. And he told them, do not discriminate who is fit or who is unfit. And Nityananda Prabhu, please understand, he was an ascetic. He was in the renounced order of life since he was 12 years old. And he was going house to house, person to person. And when they would see an ascetic, a renunciate coming to their house, they all knew what they wanted. Some donation. Isn't that what swamis do when they come to your house? Now, in those days, there were many ascetics, and it was a common thing. Pious people would just take a handful of rice and put it in their bag, and they'd go house to house and get a few handfuls of rice, and then they would eat that day. When Nityananda Prabhu came, they said, "Oh, another ascetic, okay, here's the rice." And he would fold his palms with tears in his eyes. Say, "I don't want anything from you. I don't want your rice. I only want to give you something." "What? You've come in as a beggar to give me something?" He said, "Yes. I've come to give you this blessing. Please. Do this one thing for me. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Don't you understand that the highest bliss that you're always looking for, birth after birth, is within your own heart? It's your love for God. This chanting of the holy names will awaken your love for God. Krishna has appeared as Lord Gauranga to give this greatest of all benedictions. Take the name of Krishna. Be grateful to Krishna. And make your life perfect. That's all I ask of you." Some people were very suspicious. But he was so sincere that he melted their hearts. Other people, they refused. "Who are you, a beggar, to tell me what to do?" At that time, Nityananda, who's the Supreme Absolute Truth, the creator of all the universes, the God of the Bible who throws thunderbolts and destroys civilizations, who can condemn you to suffering or enjoyment, the source of the avatars that we read about, like Narasimhadev or Balaram. And here he is, in his original form, begging envious, corrupt people, "Please, be happy and take the name of God." You see, Nityananda Prabhu's mood was for everyone, but he especially focused on the people who were in the worst condition, who were the most corrupt and sinful. Just like the body, when the body is injured, then the maximum energy of the whole body goes to that injured part. Yes, that's the way God made the body. If you sprain your finger, then the maximum energy of your whole body is going to be to bring blood and bring so much energy to heal that wound. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, wherever there was the worst problem in human consciousness, they were focused on putting the maximum energy there. And some people, to Lord Nityananda, oh, who are you telling me what to do? Out from here. And Haridasa and Nityananda were getting a really bad reputation. People were spreading horrible rumors. Don't let them come to your house. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're hypocrites. Who do they think they are? They're coming to your house. They're looking inside to see what you have. And then at night, they'll come and beat you and rob you. And here is the Lord. Such horrible accusations and blasphemies and rumors against him. But they carried on. Lochan Das Thakur explains to such people, Lord Nityananda would fall at their feet and he'd roll around like a golden mountain in the dust with tears in his eyes begging, whatever you say, I don't mind. But it breaks my heart to see you forgetting the jewel of your life. Chant the holy names. And then when they met Jagai and Madhai, we won't tell the whole story. Is there a reason they turned the air conditioner off? Just trying to be in the mood of Nityananda, not wanting to see everyone suffer. A thousand people in this small room is tapasya. So they saw this Jagai and Madhai, and please understand, these were terrible, terrible people. And Nityananda and Haridas saw them, drunk state. Every sentence that they spoke had several, what we would call four-letter words. Nasty language. They were violent. Nityananda and Haridas found out that they were murderers. They were thieves. They would burn people's house. Every day they would rape innocent women. And no one could stop them because they actually had government power. The Chankazi actually gave them powers. They practically ruled over Nadia. People were extremely, wherever they made their camp, people were terrified. And nobody could stop them. And they had a whole crew of vicious killing bandits. And Nityananda Prabhu approached them and asked them, I hate to see you suffering like this. Just take the name of Krishna and be happy. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your life and soul. Now, Jagai and Madhai were tantrics, black tantrics. According to historians, when the Mughals invaded India, most Hindus were very, very non-violent kind of people. So this black tantricism was very much promoted among certain places to make people really harsh and violent. And their particular religion was to drink intoxication, to eat, to slaughter animals that eat their flesh and blood, to have all sorts of obscene violations of sexual relationships. It was meant to make people very, very passionate, very violent, and very cruel, so that those people would actually stand up against other cruel people. So please understand, in those days, these banned black tantrics, they were powerful, dangerous, and vicious. And Jagai and Madhai were the kings. They would slaughter people. Anyone they didn't like, immediately they'd kill them, and nobody could say anything. And their sense gratification was to come to your house when you're sleeping and light it on fire and watch it burn and anyone inside. Horrible people. And they hated Vaishnavas because they considered Vaishnavas to be degrading society. Because these black tantrics, they were proud of being powerful, violent, harsh men. And they considered Vaishnavism made men feminine. All this humble stuff. Being humble and forgiving and gentle and honest and pious. How will we ever conquer our invaders if people are like this? So literally, they hated Vaishnavas. They consider it one of the greatest threat for people to become Vaishnavas. So here's Nityananda Prabhu telling him to chant Krishna's name, which is Vaishnava. They were very mad, very angry. But we know the story. Nityananda kept coming back, even though they chased them and threatened to kill them. And eventually, Nityananda went back again, and Madhai picked up a big pot. And with all of his strength, and he was really strong, he smashed Nityananda Prabhu on the forehead with it. And blood started gushing over his eyes, drenching his clothes. And Nityananda Prabhu was trying to hold the blood, but then he just looked up at Madhai. It doesn't hurt me that you hit my head, but it hurts me that you're going to have to suffer so much. Just take the name of Krishna. Give up these activities of yours. When Lord Chaitanya heard about this, with an army of devotees, he approached and called for his Sudarshan Chakra. But let me tell you a secret about Nityananda Prabhu that our acharyas reveal. When he got hit on the head, he was specially in ecstasy. The reason? Because Madhai wouldn't listen to Nityananda Prabhu. But Nityananda Prabhu never considered that he had the power to deliver anyone. He considered the entire power was from Lord Chaitanya. This was his mood in the role of a devotee. That I'm just giving Lord Chaitanya's instruction, and that instruction is all powerful. And by giving these instructions, I can connect them to Lord Gauranga, and Lord Gauranga could deliver anyone and everyone to the highest platform of spiritual love. Now, Jagai and Madhai refused. Nityananda Prabhu, there's nothing I can do for them. But then when he was hit on the head, and really hard, and he was bleeding, He was ecstatic because he knew that now Lord Chaitanya is going to personally come to deliver them. And his strategy worked. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And Nityananda Prabhu's feeling was when Mahaprabhu comes, he has to come when his own devotee is bleeding like this. And he's going to become before them and they're going to surrender to him. And then my Lord is going to give them pure love of God. But something happened. When Lord Chaitanya came, Madhai did not surrender to him. So Lord Chaitanya, with a red, cold, angry eyes, he called for his Sudarshan chakra, and the chakra came, and this is the chakra of universal destruction appeared on Lord Chaitanya's hand. And Nityananda Prabhu, he said to Lord Chaitanya, because he knew Lord Chaitanya's heart. Here, Lord Chaitanya is appearing to be in such an angry mood. He wants to kill these people. But Nityananda prays to him. Actually, in previous avatars, in previous incarnations, you did these things to the most sinful people. But in this incarnation, we don't do this. We forgive them and give them pure love of God and make them happy. But that didn't work. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, actually, it doesn't even hurt. To be honest with you, Madhai accidentally hit me. He didn't really mean it. And it's just a slight cut and it doesn't hurt. But that didn't work either. Then he said, but you know, he would have killed me, but Jagai stopped him. You see, his hand is holding Madhai's hand. He stopped him from hurting me. He saved me. And then Lord Chaitanya, oh, Jagai, you helped my devotee. I will give you love of God today. And the chakra disappeared. And then Madhai, his heart changed. And he said, please give me love of God too. And Nityananda said, if I've done anything to please you in my life, I don't ask anything in return except this. Give love of God to Madhai and forgive him. That's all I ask of you. And Lord Chaitanya said to Madhai, he was very much afraid. He said, you just gave my brother love of God. Whatever I did, he did, so give it to me too. He said, you have hurt Nityananda. Turn to him. Only he can save you. And he fell at Nityananda's feet, and Nityananda gave him to Lord Chaitanya. And they both gave him a simple instruction. Just stop causing harm to others. Be humble, grateful, and live by a pure lifestyle and chant the names of God. And when they agreed to do that, he gave them the highest perfection. Dinahina yata chilo harinamu dharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Just by giving them God's names, he gave the two most notorious gangsters such humble lives of love. So much so that Jagai and Madhai, all they wanted to do for the rest of their lives was just serve others and love others. This was Lord Nityananda Prabhu. I'll tell a few more instances of how the Lord knew, how Nityananda Prabhu knew Lord Chaitanya's compassionate heart. After the Lord took sannyas, he was going to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu knew in his heart that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give pleasure to his devotees who were so much in anguish because he left home. So he had a little cowherd boy give Lord Chaitanya the wrong directions to send him in the opposite way back to meet his devotees. Lord Chaitanya chastised him. But it's really what the Lord wanted. And Devamrita Maharaj talked about this breaking of the danda. Nityananda Prabhu was asked to hold the danda when Mahaprabhu was going to have darshan of Kopiteshwar Mahadev. And he looked at the danda and he said, "The very Lord who I carry in my heart is carrying you. This is not right." Broke it in three places. And Lord Chaitanya appeared angry, but actually it's what the Lord wanted. And then there was the king Prataparudra. Because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, one in renunciation. And in those days, there was very strict cultural principles. Today, they're not so much. But if a renunciate, a swami, mixes with people who are in very high material positions, then people will think that they're after their money. Or they're after some enjoyment. So Lord Chaitanya would not meet. And the king, Prataparudra, he wanted so much to see Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, to show this external example of the proper etiquette, he refused to see the king. And the king decided, "I'll give up my kingdom and become a beggar if I can get the mercy of the Lord." But Nityananda knew his heart, and he started making all arrangements. He brought some cloth of the Lord to the king. He brought the Lord's son. And ultimately, he arranged for the Lord to meet the king in a very special way. Similarly, when Kal Krishnadas was a assistant of the Lord who engaged in immoral activities and betrayed the Lord while they were traveling. He abandoned the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said to Kal Krishnadas, or he said to the devotees when they returned to Puri, "I don't want to see him. He can go anywhere he wants." So Lord Nityananda went out of his way to give him service. Now what is it that he was doing? He was doing what Lord Chaitanya in his heart wanted to do. So simultaneously, they are one person serving the same purpose in different ways. In these instances, Lord Chaitanya is teaching the principle that people have to follow, and Lord Nityananda is showing his mercy. Chota Haridas. Lord Chaitanya was very strong on Chota Haridas for improper behavior. But Nityananda Prabhu was always begging Lord Chaitanya, "Please be kind to him." Always trying to encourage him. Because the feminine energy, the feminine nature of God is all forgiving, all kind, all compassionate, the Supreme Mother. And this was the spirit of Radharani that Mahaprabhu was manifesting in his compassionate side. And Nityananda Prabhu, as his most intimate associate, was the very instrument of that compassion. The soul of every living being is pure. The soul of every living being is intimately loved by God. Nityananda Prabhu saw everything on that platform. And interestingly, our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, how similar his mission was to Lord Nityananda's. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in 1922 gave Prabhupada practically the same instruction as Lord Chaitanya gave to Lord Nityananda. Go to the West. And without discrimination, give love of God in the English language all over the world. Who's ever given an instruction like that before? And in the spirit of Nityananda Prabhu, Prabhupada took that as his life and soul, and he went. And just as Nityananda Prabhu was like a beggar, an ascetic beggar going house to house, Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York City with no money whatsoever. He didn't know anyone. Just an instrument of the compassion of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So it is that mercy of, it is that kindness of Nityananda that so perfectly and fully manifested through Srila Prabhupada's heart. And that is what touched our lives, all of us here today, to bring us such joy, such hope, and such love. On this holy day, let us pray. Nitai pada kamala koti chandra shushitala ye chayaya jagata chudai. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are most refreshingly cool, like tens and millions of moons. And one who takes shelter receives shade from the scorching heat of material existence. If we are just grateful for this gift of God's love coming through Nityananda and Srila Prabhupada, then our hearts will be a fertile field for that love to grow. And not only transform our own lives, but we can be instruments to transform so many other lives through the chanting of the holy name. Thank you very much. And now Devamrita Swami Maharaj will speak. He's sitting here because his legs are hurting, so he can't sit cross-legged.
Om Agena Chimarandasya Agena Jana Shalakya Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 This celebration of Lord Nityananda's appearance day in this year has great significance. For this planet at the present moment in time. Of course, every celebration of Lord Nityananda's appearance day has utmost significance. But now if we look at the world situation, we find that persons who are known to be materially the most intelligent, they are beginning to freely admit they are completely bewildered. Their economic confidence has been smashed. Recently, the world's economic scholars had a grand meeting, their yearly meeting, and they just plainly admitted, we don't have a clue what's going on. Political leaders can't come up with any new lies to give to the people. Now there is talk that perhaps maybe what China is doing is the way forward. It's called Leninist capitalism. No political freedom, but everyone can make money. In my travels around the world, I have seen that because of the humiliations suffered by the so-called intelligent people of the world, it is a very ripe atmosphere, a very fertile atmosphere for Lord Nityananda's mercy. It is one thing to understand that you are diseased and fallen and need the supreme help of Lord Nityananda. But it is another thing to think you are perfectly fine and perfectly competent. It is that false assurance, that false sense of confidence, which is actually, unfortunately, demoniac, which has caused so much damage to the world. We were speaking this morning, and more so last night, how any person with just a little bit of intelligence can see human society cannot go on as it is now. It's not possible. The resources from nature aren't there. The ability of nature to process all the wastes produced by human society, that capacity is not there. But what else is a human being? What else is human society supposed to do other than produce and consume? No one has a clue. What is the actual mission in life of the human being? In this great darkness, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda more soothing than millions of moons. Provide a beacon of sanity. Provide solace for the heart. Certainly we can feel gratitude as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining. Gratitude in spiritual life is no ordinary thing. To even have just partial appreciation of the depths of bewilderment that we've been rescued from, and then to be grateful for even what we ourselves as individuals may consider the little bit of spiritual advancement we've made. Our being grateful for that allows us to see even greater amounts of Krishna consciousness that lay in store for us. And therefore, devotees, even during this time when the most so-called intelligent people of the world are bewildered, devotees are confident because they can see ahead. And that ability to see ahead comes from their gratitude. That in spite of their karmic past, in spite of their forgetting Krishna since time immemorial, they have a solid way forward. A way forward for themselves, and also a way that devotees can offer the whole world. Maharaj was speaking, putting us in the middle of the Jagai and Madhai scene, and describing how degraded those two were. Yet they received Lord Nityananda's mercy. I'd like to speak just a little about another mercy case of a different sort. But still, although that personality who received the mercy is no doubt very exalted, very elevated, still he considers himself to be more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and lower than a worm in stool. In presenting, just briefly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of how he received Lord Nityananda's mercy, it's very instructive for us to think about his presentation of his own motives. He describes that ordinarily his confidential story should not be told. But he's going to do it just to glorify Lord Nityananda. This is a great lesson for all of us, because although we do not claim, of course, to have the stature of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, still each one of us has received something we can be so extraordinarily grateful to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda for. The emotional expression of a Vaishnava involves regret. How and why could I have been so extraordinarily foolish to have forgotten Krishna? And the emotional expression of a Vaishnava includes gratitude. In spite of my fallen condition, just see, I have service to Krishna. I have the association of devotees. I have a real life, and I'm able to give a real life to others. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's presentation of Lord Nityananda's mercy upon him has nothing to do with ego. It has nothing to do with, I want you all to know how great I am, or I want some unique attention. And even though the presentation is his own confidential story, still, he wants the world to know it, to glorify the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We can learn from his motivation. He is so careful that even though his motives are sterling, they're completely pure, he still begs the readers, forgive my offenses in my presentation of this history. I'm doing it just to glorify Lord Nityananda. But in other words, just in case there may be some ego, there may be some impure motive, forgive me for my offenses. It's a very beautiful approach for describing the mercy of the Lord upon the devotee. And we all have our share of mercy. We all have our extraordinary dispensations that have come to us from the two Lords, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. This is our wealth. This is our prosperity. This is our way forward. In this situation of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's receiving the mercy of Lord Nityananda, that mercy came by the way of his defending Lord Nityananda. And he had to do this to his own brother. Now this, unlike Jagai and Madai, this situation involves Vaishnav culture and Vaishnav devotion, yet there was a problem amidst that world of Vaishnav culture and devotion. Kaviraj Goswami describes that his brother made a mistake. A great devotee of Lord Nityananda, Miniketana Ramdas, came amongst their midst. And he was so obviously saturated with pure love of God. He would roar the name Nityananda. And when others would, upon seeing his pure devotion, would offer obeisances, he would climb on their backs. Constantly, his body was erupting in symptoms of the highest spiritual ecstasy. The priest, however, who was taking care of the deity, didn't offer any respects to Minikaitana Ram Das. So then a very interesting thing happened. Minikaitana Ram Das made the pronouncement that that priest has offended Lord Nityananda. And Minikaitana Ram Das showed his anger, his displeasure. You may wonder, well, the priest who was tending the deity didn't acknowledge Minikaitana Ram Das, so how is that related to Lord Nityananda? But in a pure and egoless way, Minikaitana Ram Das saw that you have insulted my master, because all I am is my master's doing. So by ignoring me, it's not so much me, you are ignoring my master, because my master's qualities are all I'm made of. This is a very deep point in Vaishnav culture. Without understanding that depth, you would think Minikaitana Ram Das is perhaps being egotistical just because the pujari who's taking care of the deity ignored him. From this example, we can understand something of the mystery of empowerment by the Lord and the relationship between the master and the servant. The servant simply thinks of the will of the master. The qualities that the master has invested in the servant. And Minikaitana Ram Das obviously was feeling that investment so intensely and on such a high level of pure love of God that he could make that judgment, you're offending Lord Nityananda by disregarding me. This is how exalted bhakti is. Unfortunately, Kaviraja Goswami's brother sided with the priest. And Kaviraja Goswami tried to straighten his brother out. And he told him a very interesting thing. What is the use in your having faith in Lord Chaitanya and not having faith in Lord Nityananda? It would be better that you just slight both brothers and be an atheist rather than glorify Lord Chaitanya and neglect Lord Nityananda. Please think about this. Better just forget both of them. We should consider, how could that be? All right, this brother and the priest, they didn't understand Lord Nityananda, who sometimes acts like an avaduta, and certainly his devotee, Minikaitana Ram Das, was acting like an avaduta. But at least these two persons apparently were attracted to Lord Chaitanya. But Kaviraja Goswami says, he told his brother, this won't work. Better give up both brothers than just concentrate on Lord Chaitanya at the expense of Lord Nityananda. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took rest that night, he had a dream of Lord Nityananda, who thanked him for defending him. Thanked Kaviraj Goswami for defending him. And Lord Nityananda gave him an instruction. The mercy of the Lord upon the devotee comes as service, instruction. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantu. The more that a devotee advances in bhakti, the more the Lord gives customized instruction. Of course, the Lord is instructing everyone in Bhagavad Gita. He aims his instruction at everyone through Arjuna. But he also says, besides his personal instruction in the Gita, for those who serve him with preeti, with affection, constantly, he'll give them custom-tailored instruction how to attain him. The Lord Nityananda gave custom instruction to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Immediately, go to Vrindavan. There in Vrindavan, you'll find everything you need. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was overwhelmed by the beauty of Lord Nityananda and his associates that he saw in the dream. And when he woke, he immediately set off for Vrindavan without hesitation. So what, from the material point of view, was a family disruption, between Kaviraj Goswami and his brother and the priest, turned into an occasion where the mercy of Lord Nityananda manifest, instruction from Lord Nityananda manifest, and Kaviraj Goswami left for Vrindavan. What did Lord Nityananda mean? That in Vrindavan you'll find everything. All that you need will be there in Vrindavan. It turned out that that instruction by Lord Nityananda meant that Kaviraj Goswami would come upon Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and in that way, his service further developed. My point in explaining this pastime, which I know you all know so well, is that Lord Nityananda's mercy flows to such an exalted person as Kaviraj Goswami, to such muggers and social degenerates and horribly acting persons as Jagai and Madhai. That mercy also flows to us. And the proof that we are having Lord Nityananda's mercy is that we can see clearly and non-sentimentally. We can see with knowledge the road ahead for our life. Even at a time in the world's history when the best brains are totally bewildered and are admitting they don't know what to do. The old stories have crumbled. What is there going to be some new ism to save the world. No one has any idea. In this situation, we're meant, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, to become even more active in our distributing as servants of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, distributing their treasures. It is a very attractive time for being employees in the marketplace of love of God. Srila Prabhupada once commented that a devotee knows how to carry on Krishna's work in any circumstance. Whether the world is in a so-called good shape or a so-called bad shape, a devotee knows how to adapt to any circumstance so that profit for Krishna is generated. Srila Prabhupada explained that a neophyte business person only knows how to make a profit when the price of something is going up. But an expert business person knows how to make a profit in the market, whether the price is going up or down. In other words, we don't become bewildered by how the circumstances in the world are. Now are good material times. Now are bad material times. We simply see how in any type of situation, how to push on the work of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. That determination and that expertise, that is the proof of Lord Nityananda's mercy. As I came from the airport, one of the brahmacharis here was describing to me such big plans for preaching throughout all of India on so many different levels. And I could understand this is Lord Nityananda's mercy because although the whole world is looking to India to become the next consumer paradise, the whole world is pinning their consumerist hopes on India, as we described this morning, hoping that instead of 1 billion followers of Dharma, there'll be 1 billion consumers. Well, the whole material world is hoping for that. Here I was listening to such grand and magnificent plans for spreading Krishna consciousness. The kind of plans that Srila Prabhupada wanted his leaders to generate. So here I was listening to such majestic plans. And I felt, yes, this is Lord Nityananda's mercy. I felt so inspired for the future. My gratitude is for such experiences of seeing devotees carrying on Srila Prabhupada's mission. My gratitude is in hearing of Lord Nityananda's mercy on Jagai and Madhai, who are on one extreme of human behavior, and then Lord Nityananda's mercy, as we discussed, is there also for Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, who's actually not a resident of the material world, part of Krishna's entourage in Goloka Vrindavan. Still, he says, the mercy that Lord Nityananda gave him so confidential it shouldn't be spoken, but he wants to speak it to glorify Lord Nityananda. And then presents himself as more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. And as we heard Maharaj's description of Jagai and Madhai, I think, how can anyone be more sinful than that? Yet, such an exalted devotee is describing himself in this way. And it is not poetic. It is a great mystery of bhakti, how a devotee can actually feel that way and not just say those words. It is possible for each one of us to have our ever-increasing history, personal history of Lord Nityananda's mercy upon us. That mercy produces more gratitude in us. More gratitude in us brings or attracts more mercy. In this way, our life goes on. So I thank you all for your increasing the scope of Lord Nityananda's mission. Regret is there for our forgetting Krishna, but gratitude is there because we cannot deny that in spite of our disqualifications and forgetfulness of Krishna, we have been given the rarest opportunity. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement should always remember where he or she came from and what is the most sublime opportunity that we have now. So that is regret and gratitude combined together. And I find that those two spiritual emotions, regret and gratitude, make a devotee into fertile territory for fertile land for Lord Nityananda's further mercy. Thank you very much. Adhikar.